Good morning to everyone. Today is the second Sunday of Lent. The epistle for today is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. As for the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, During the season of Lent, we are supposed to be doing penance. There is the official fast and abstinence, and also voluntary sacrifices and prayers and almsgivings, all those Lenten practices that we should be doing. And we want to think of them as genuine sacrifice. It is not good to go through Lent just doing the minimum. And the reason, typically, although some people that's all they can do is the minimum, the reason that it's not usually good is because that shows that we don't want to make sacrifice, we just want to fulfill the rules. If we want to make sacrifice, we will certainly fulfill the rules willingly, but we will do something more. We will go over and above what's required of us. The Lenten sacrifices of fast and abstinence, well, that's something. And it's official penance, official public penance. When you eat in public, before your family or friends or whatever. Of course, some people eat alone, but that's the exceptional thing. And in today's epistle, St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and they've obviously needed some instruction just like all of us do. And then he tells them that we have to learn the faith and then actually put it into practice too. You know, of course you say, well, I'm here at church, I'm practicing Catholic. Well, this is true. But it's not the only thing we have to do as Catholics is be at church. We have other things to do. And he speaks about learning how to please God. And he mentions two of the commandments. He mentions the sixth commandment and the seventh commandment in that epistle to the Thessalonians. Obviously, they were not all keeping the sixth commandment, just like anywhere else, and the seventh. He spoke about abstaining from fornication. And everyone should know how to possess his vessel, that is, his body, in holiness. And we go to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ about our body. First of all, our body is meant to be a temple of God. It is not just like an animal's body, which is just for the physical use of the animal, but more, a temple, a dwelling place for God, a special dwelling place, like a temple. Of course, you know that you could say it's true that God is everywhere. Well, that's true. Nevertheless, in certain places, he is present in other ways than the way he is everywhere. Like, for example, in the Holy Eucharist. In the Holy Eucharist, Jesus' body is substantially present. It's not substantially present in other things, and yet God is present there in the general way. And so, he is dwelling, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Trinity, they want to dwell in our bodies like in a temple, a place where God is worshipped within, throughout the body. We bring a baby in to be baptized, and mom, dad, godparents, and everybody's there, and the priest baptizes the baby. Then the holy oils are put on the baby's body. He's anointed on the chest and on the back and on the head with chrism. His body is holy, a temple for the Holy Ghost. And we must not then have the body and use it in any unclean way. That is one thing that, of course, is something that has to be spoken about, is the modesty of dress, besides the modesty of behavior. Typically, the men are sufficiently covered around here. It does happen that men are often modest too, but that's usually in the hot climates where there's a beach nearby, you know, that happens. You want to be modest wherever you are. And the women then, modest also, because although a woman is meant to be beautiful, and she should keep herself beautiful, using proper care to groom herself and clean and wash and put on good clothing, proper clothing that is beautiful clothing, yet she must not be impure in her bearing and her dress. She must not let her private parts be showing. It is a big plague these days. Women think that it's the best thing if you can show off as much as possible your body. And that's a beautiful body. There's nothing wrong with the beauty of the body. But it's not to be shown around to everybody. It's meant to be covered up. And decorated with things which hide the secret things of the body. So from the below the knee all the way up to the neck, that's covered. All of it. We're not supposed to see those things. And yet, the woman is still meant to be beautiful by, especially, well, by the way she decorates herself, and also by the virtue that should shine in her countenance, the virtue of a clean heart, and of goodness, and the love which ought to dwell in every good woman. And that's what makes a woman beautiful. Because if she is impure in her bearing, she is, although there is beauty there, there is also evil. Because of her lack of modesty. Now, he says that we should bear our vessel, which means our body, in holiness. And so that we carry ourselves in an ordinary way. We should be beautiful, or if a man should be handsome, and yet he should not be dirty. Because of the great plague of impurity around us, it's not so easy to accomplish in many cases. Everything around us is full of impurity. We have impurity out on the streets, billboards, the myriad of movies with impurity. And now there's terrible stuff in bad magazines and on the internet. All this filth all around us. And it's a plague. In the Middle Ages in Europe, certain plagues went through and killed sometimes one-third of the people, sometimes one-half of the people died. You can imagine, just imagine now, if one-half of us died, then one side of the church would be completely empty, that half the people are gone, because they died from a plague. But what about this plague of impurity? How many are being killed spiritually? I dare say it's a huge part of everyone. And so we have to take special precautions so as not to catch the plague. First of all, we have to realize that it is a problem. Admit it to ourselves. There's a danger that I have to be beware of and not let it take effect on me. And then to identify the occasion to sin and to avoid them. In other words, don't look at impure movies and pictures and things. Don't listen to impure music. Don't hang out with impure people. Keep yourself busy all your waking hours with good things that will keep you out of trouble. Wholesome and fun things, fine. Work, yes. Your prayers and your chores and studies, yes. But idleness? Anyone who's been duck hunting will know that it's kind of cheating to shoot a duck while it's sitting on the pond. But when you're idle, you're a sitting duck for the devil, and he doesn't mind cheating. All of us have to keep busy, or else we're sitting ducks for Satan. And he takes his pot shots from the hip. We have to pray for chastity. It's a good idea then each morning to ask the Blessed Virgin for genuine chastity of mind and body. Say a few Hail Marys for it. And then when we notice temptation and trouble rising, to do something about it, to take evasive action if necessary. For example, if you are standing on a train track and you see that a train is coming close, coming along fast, what you have to do in order to prevent from being creamed is to step off the tracks. And that's the thing to do. When you see an impure occasion or temptation arriving, that's all it takes. Get out of the way. And you're safe. You make a move. And you evade the evil. Also, the sin of the seventh commandment was mentioned. Thou shalt not steal. And he says that in words of saying, thou shalt, that not any man circumvent or overreach his brother in business. In other words, playing dirty pool with business. Undercutting, undermining, you know. It reminds me of the old joke. The three Jewish merchants had their storefronts side by side. And the one on the left, Jacob, put up a big sign over his store. It said, going out of business, everything must go, pennies on the dollar, hurry up, sale ends in 5 minutes, you know. And so, you know, on the other side, Israel, on the other side, on the far right, he put up a sign, clearance, going out of business, and all kinds of other, you know, come on ads, you know. And then, so the guy in the middle was, David. He walked out of his store, went across the street and looked at those signs. He said, boy, how am I going to compete? And so what he did is he went to the sign guy. He said, look, I just need a huge sign that's bigger than those signs that just says entrance with an arrow pointing towards my door. So, you know, just as we don't want to, you know, to steal, to be unfair in our business, we have to be careful that we don't desire things that are not necessarily good for us, or things which are not necessarily ours, not able to obtain them fairly, and to be fair in all of our dealings. And Solomon put out the spirit of it very clearly. King Solomon, who, as I'm certain you know, was very rich, and yet his prayer went like this: dear God, give me not riches nor poverty, but just those things which are necessary for a virtuous life. He did not need to be rich, and he knew that, nor did he want to be in squalor of poverty, not having enough to even to live in a virtuous way, but just the right amount. That was his prayer. Not too little, not too much. And so that we look at the goods of this world as tools for salvation, that we'll use them, as in the epistle St. Paul writes, to please God, to make God glad that he made us, to make him proud of us. And of course, to make God proud, we not only have to obey the commandments, but we should do other things willingly and voluntarily to show that it's not just for ourselves that we keep the commandments to save our souls, but also we want to honor God by doing over and above something for him. In the gospel today, we see Jesus taking the three apostles, his favorites, Peter, James, and John, takes them into the high mountain and by themselves, and He's transfigured before them, and they see his body glorified with the effects of his divinity showing out in his body, which was not normal while he was living on the world. Normally, he hid his divinity and he looked ordinary. He looked like a mere mortal on the outside. Although, if you listened to his preaching and saw his miracles, you would also be able to conclude he was not just an ordinary mortal, that he was also divine. But he didn't look that way, except this time. And then again, when he rose from the dead, he showed his glory in his body again, reminding us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and that with God's grace in our souls, the grace of our baptism, we have divinity united to us in such a way that in the Holy Scriptures we read, and Jesus himself says it in the Gospels, "Have I not said you are gods?" Because by the grace of God, God has united a piece of his own nature to our souls and our bodies. And so in that way, he makes us divine by his grace. Now, it would be very interesting if for just a moment all of us could see the glory of the divinity in each other, but only in those who have grace in their souls. It would be very interesting and quite revealing, wouldn't it? Well, that's what it'll be like at the Last Judgment, when all of our bodies will rise from the dead, and those who have died in the grace of God, God's divinity will show forth in their risen body, but not in those who died without God's grace. Reminds us of one of the verses in the one of the epistles of St. Paul about the resurrection. He said, "We will all rise again, but we will not all be changed." Those who die with the grace of God, their bodies will be changed into glorified bodies, just like the body of Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead and also at his transfiguration. And so we want to be very much interested in rising with a glorified body and in glorifying God among ourselves by being obedient children of God, by walking to please God, by carrying our body, our vessel, about holily and not permitting the stench of sin to corrupt the cleanness and the holiness that is meant to be in our bodies, and that we keep in our bodies also the light, this light which is now invisible to us, the light of the Holy Trinity, which is meant to shine and enlighten our whole body and our soul with it, all of us. It is the light of God, and that cannot exist with mortal sin. And it comes to us in baptism, and at the end of the baptismal ceremony, the priest who baptizes gives the godparents a candle lit and says to the godparents and to the baby, "Receive this burning light. Let it never be extinguished. And it shines forth so that you can carry it all the way until the judgment of God. And your light shining like the light, the lamps of the five wise virgins. And show that you are his. As the light is extinguished, which represents the light of the faith, you are not Christ's. And he gives the white garment to the baby. Receive this white garment. Never let it become stained. The purity of our body. Kind of a garment for our souls. That's why we have very much to protect ourselves in these days, to insulate ourselves from the invasion of evil and sin, not to be of the world, although we have to be in the world. We don't belong to it. We belong to heaven, which is our true home. If we make the world our home, then it's not heaven anymore. We make heaven our home. We are happy in this world and free from the slavery of worldly desires and of sin. So let us today remind ourselves that we've been marked in baptism with the indelible character of Jesus Christ. We're meant to belong to him. And then we have to love and obey him in this world and be careful, because if we're not careful, we easily betray him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.